Isaiah 7:14 reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." The "you" there is plural. So if we're going to do a proper translation from old Hebrew text to, say, Southern, that would be, "The Lord himself will give all y'all a sign." That's all of us. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." In Matthew's gospel, he translates Emmanuel for us, and he lets us know that Emmanuel means God with us. Let's write that down. If you're going to take notes this morning, flip your bulletins over and just write that down. God with us. And I just want to take a moment to focus and think about that small phrase. God with us. God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the all-present, all-knowing, all-powerful, the creator of the entire universe, God with. With means to accompany, to be in the company of, to join, to include, not separated from, not distant from. God with who? Us. That's you. That's me. That's all y'all. That's all of us. That's all of mankind living today all around the globe. And it's even bigger than that. It's all of mankind that have lived in the past 2,000 plus years since Jesus was laid in the manger that first Christmas. That's us. God with us. And I want you to notice the order of this statement. It's God with us, not us with God. It's God with us because it had to happen that way. He had to be with us first. Because in our messed up state, our human condition, we just can't hang out with God. It's not a choice that we can make to hang out with him. It's a choice he had to make to hang out with us. God had to be with us first. And so he became a man. He entered into our messed up world. God, who is awesome, came into this shameful place. And my question this morning is, why? Why God with us? Why Emmanuel? Because God is always working a plan. He always has meaning and purpose behind what he does. It's with intent that God acts. God always has an agenda. He always has a plan. He always has an end game in mind. He always has a bottom line. And so, what was the point of Jesus, Emmanuel, this term that means God with us? Now, the expected church answer would be that it was necessary for God to become a man so he could pay for our sins and die for us on the cross. There's truth in that statement, but it's an incomplete statement. There's more to it than that. See, C.S. Lewis talks about this messed up human condition in his book, Mere Christianity. And he talks about this hole that we've gotten ourselves into with sin. And if it were just so simple as to send Jesus to die for our sins, to get us off the hook, so to speak, then why couldn't God have just done that? I mean, if he was going to forgive us anyway, why couldn't he have just forgiven us? Anybody else think about that before? Why send your son to be punished, to suffer and die, if you're already going to forgive us? I mean, God could change the rules. He made the rules. He is the judge. He is God after all. I think that's a logical question. But it's not that simple. See, this hole that we've gotten ourselves into, this human condition, it's not just because we're simply broken or imperfect. We are in this hole because we have rebelled. We are in this broken, imperfect, messed up human condition because we have arrogantly tried to stand on our own, independently. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis talks about this concept, and this concept in relation to the need for us to repent. Repent is basically the word that means that captures the thought of a rebel turning back to God. And I want to read to you a small section here in his book on this subject. C.S. Lewis says, "Now, what was the sort of hole man got himself into? He had tried to set up on his own to behave as if he belonged to himself. In other words, fallen man is not simply an imperfect creature who needs improvement. He is a rebel who must lay down his arms. Laying down your arms, surrendering, saying you're sorry, realizing that you've been on the wrong track and getting ready to start all over again from the ground floor, that's the only way out of our hole. This process of surrender, this movement full speed astern, is what Christians call repentance. Repentance is no fun at all. It is something much harder than merely eating humble pie. It means unlearning all of the self-conceit and self-will that we have been training ourselves into for thousands of years. It means killing part of yourself, undergoing a kind of death. In fact, it needs a good man to repent. And here comes the catch. Only a bad person needs to repent. Only a good person can repent perfectly. The worse you are, the more you need it, and the less you can do it. The only person who could do it perfectly would be a perfect person, and he would not need it. C.S. Lewis goes on to describe what happened when the world experienced God with us. And that was that God came so that he could teach us how to turn back to him. Much like how you teach your child how to write, you put your hand on their hand and you form the letters. They form the letters only because your hand is forming the letters and their hand is inside your hand. And this is the same idea of God with us on so many other subjects, but specifically this morning just on repentance. This thing called repentance, laying down your arms, surrendering, waving the white flag. It's something that we can't do because we're broken. But that's the very reason we need to do it. So we need help. We need his hand to be on our hand to help us form the letters. But there's a problem with that. See, repentance, laying down arms, surrender, is something that God in his own nature never does at all. We so badly need God to take our hand and show us how to surrender, how to repent, how to turn back to him, to lay down arms to the point that the rebel in us dies. And these are things that God, before Jesus, before Emmanuel, these are things that God had never experienced in his own nature or needed to subject himself to. He's not a rebel. God doesn't need to answer to anyone. He does not need to change. He didn't need to surrender. He doesn't need to suffer. He doesn't need to learn how to turn back to himself. Lewis reflects on this and he exposes just some of the genius thinking that God had when God created his plan, designed his plan to send man to earth. Jesus, God with us. He says that if God became a man, then that man could suffer, surrender, and die because he was a man, and he could do it perfectly because he was God. And that man could then take us down the same road so that we would then have divine guidance as we suffer, surrender, and the rebel in us dies. This action is what Christians call repentance. And I want to clear something up. Repentance is not a requirement as in a rule or a regulation. It's not some religious hoop that you have to jump through in order to get to God. No, it's a requirement simply by the rules of logic. The rebel in us has to die so that we can then surrender and turn to God. That logically has to happen. Otherwise, it's like we're asking God to take us back without going back. It doesn't work that way. I was driving through my neighborhood the other day, and I saw this cat. And this cat, he just caught my attention. He calls me to do a double take. Luckily, I didn't hit anything while I was looking at this cat, but I couldn't believe how distorted and contorted this cat looked. He was at the base of this tree, at the trunk of this tree, and he was looking up so much that his neck was bending so far that no neck should ever, ever bend that far. It looked awful. But he was so intent looking straight up in this tree. He had his eyes on something. And as I continued to drive, I thought, I wonder what that cat was looking at. I wonder if his mouth was starting to water at the thought of a nice bird lunch, you know? Or I wondered if his little furry body was starting to fill with adrenaline because he was anticipating the thrill of a good squirrel chase. Or maybe that cat was a vegetarian and he was looking up into the tree in hopes of spring's fruit. No, I doubt it too. But you know, I looked at that cat and I started thinking about that. I thought, you know, this cat reminds me a lot of us. We hope for a lot of things. We want for a lot of things. And we get so intent on certain things, so focused on certain things. And sometimes we're patient enough to just sit at the base of the tree and wait. Other times, man, we just want to go get it. And we climb the tree and we get that thing that we see our eyes on. Sometimes we don't want to wait and we don't want to go through the effort of getting it. So we'll just go down to the local bird and squirrel store and we'll whip out the credit card. And we'll get whatever our heart desires. We chase after a lot of things. And some of the things that we chase after are not bad things. Listen to this. Hear me. No matter how noble, pure, honorable, or good that thing you're chasing after is, it cannot compare, it will not compare to this idea, this concept of God with us. God with you, God with me, the creator of the universe, including us in his company, the Lord and judge accepting us, the all-present, all-knowing, all-powerful joining us, God with us here, now. And that's what we have in this simple little term, God with us. Now, there are some of you who are out there saying to yourselves, when's he going to start preaching about the manger? When's he going to start preaching about the shepherds or the angels or the wise men or the angels? When's he going to start sharing with us a Christmas message? You know, I think many of you have heard that story plenty of times. I think you know it. So I don't think I need to cover that again. So this morning, I've chosen that instead of focusing on all of the things that surrounded Jesus, I want to simply focus on Jesus, the center of that scene. God with us. 2,000 years ago, what did that manger scene do for you today? God with us. What does that mean to you today? God wants to be with you. See, even today, God wants to be with us in whatever messed up condition we are in. And if you want to be with him, you're going to have to let him be with you first, because that's the way it works. You can't turn to him without his help. That's how helpless our condition is. We can't even ask for help without help in asking for help. And I don't have to be a psychic or a prophet to know that though you know the Christmas story, and I have faith that most of you do, most of you know all the pieces of your nativity scene that you have set up at home. Some of you might even know that you go to Luke's gospel to find the story about the shepherds, and you go to Matthew's gospel to find the story about the magi or the wise men. You might be so keen that you know with every ounce of your brain that you do need God. But regardless of what you know, the reality is this morning, you're still trying to handle things on your own. And I'm going to call you out on it on Christmas morning. You may have cried out for God's help, but your hands are still clutching the wheel. And it doesn't matter if this is the second time you've been to church all year or if you haven't missed a Sunday. We all fight this rebellious human condition. Every one of us, none of us are exempt from wanting to be rebels. This human condition, this hole that we are in. And the only way out was and is and will always be God with us. I'd like to ask the musicians to come back up on stage. And before we go into an invitation time, before I'd like to ask you to act on this truth, I'd like to ask you to reflect on this truth. As we sing some more songs and we think about God with us, God came to be with us, God desired to come down and lend a helping hand. And that's worth praising his name for. That's worth singing about. And as the musicians make their way up here and get settled in, I want to read just a couple of verses of scripture that kind of expand on this whole idea of God with us and the awesomeness of God with us. Isaiah 9:6, a prophecy once again about Jesus. For unto us, or for to us, a child is born, to us a son is given, And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Some of you are here this morning, and you need advice. You need help. You need guidance. God with us, he is a Wonderful Counselor. That was his name. That's what he came to be. That's what he can be in you, God with us. Some of you need power this morning to get through an obstacle, to get through tough times. He's called a Mighty God in this verse, this prophecy about Jesus. He's a Mighty God, and you need God with us. That's what God with us is to you this morning. Some of you here might need security. Everything's shaking and things are falling apart all around you. And you just say, you know, I just need something secure to hold on to. Jesus was the exact image of the Father. So it's rightful to call him the everlasting Father. It doesn't get any more secure than that, does it? And that's what you need. And that's what God with us brings to your life. God with us. Some of you are looking for peace this morning. What is he called? The Prince of Peace. That's God with us. That's the beauty of this whole idea of Jesus coming and being with us. He can be your peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. If you need a new start this morning, if you need a clean slate, if you need someone to come and shake your Etch-a-Sketch, you know what I'm talking about? Jesus Christ is what you need. He is the answer. He is God with us, and he brings a new start. Hebrews chapter 4 says, for we do not have a high priest, talking about Jesus. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This morning, some of you might be suffering. You might be going through an awful time. Let me assure you, Jesus knows what rough times are like. He knows what suffering is, and God with us means he is so crazy that he wants to go through your suffering with you. He wants to go through your pain with you, and you can have that if you accept God with us, and he can bring you to the mercy seat of God, the throne of God, where you can receive help. Let's praise God for this whole concept of God with us.